Hello everyone and welcome back to Microsoft Virtual Academy course, How to Become Visio 2013 Power User. And this is a part 2, module 2, and now we will talk about visualization and data linking to Visio. This module is my favorite one because it shows the real power of the Visio and that Visio is not just a diagramming tool, it's a really strong business instrument. Scott, again, thank you for coming. What exactly you would like to show us?
In this module, Alex, we're going to build on what we did in the previous one. In that module, we talked a lot about data. We talked about data inside shapes and inside pages and documents, but it was all data that resided inside the diagram. What we're going to look at now is what you can do to capitalize on data that lives somewhere else. For example, the first thing we'll take a look at is linking to data that lives in Excel. Then we'll look at that same diagram and link it to data that lives in a SharePoint list. And then we'll get to what you were describing a moment ago. We'll show you examples of how you can use your Visio diagrams to represent real business data and the real business world. So that's our focus. Now, I'm going to take a quick aside here. Before I show you linking to Excel, I want to clean up one little tidbit from Module 1. I was showing you in Module 1 how to put data into the document. We created a list of cities for a network diagram, and it didn't work, and I realized, of course, immediately after we stopped the cameras, why. So let me go back to that diagram quickly, and I'll show you the one little piece that I missed that will make this work for you. So here's the diagram. This is a network diagram. We were looking at the location field, and I had put a list of cities, Boston, Chicago, and Seattle, into the document. And what I did successfully do is indicate that we wanted to show the fields that exist in that document. And we referred to them using this formula, the doc, exclamation point, user, dot, location. The values, if I click F5, let me turn the zoom off. If I click F5 to show the actual data values, we see the reflection of the data in the document. What I didn't do to make this work is go one cell to the left and type a 1. So now what I want to do is change the type. The default type is just a set of string values, a text value. I want type 1, which is a fixed list. So let's do that, press enter. And now if we go back up to our server shape and look at the location field, indeed it is a drop-down list, Boston, Chicago, Seattle. Now the real power here is this is just one server shape that is getting data from the document. But picture a diagram in which there are 30 server shapes or 100 servers, and they're all reading data from the document. If the values of your locations change, maybe you acquire a new data center, you've got to add Los Angeles to the list, or Tuscaloosa, or something else, you add it to the list in the document, guess what? Every server in the map inherits that because they're all reading their data from the same place. So there's real power in having a central document store, if you will, inside the document, which is really a perfect segue into what we're now going to do in this module, because we're going to talk about having data in external locations that can be used not only across shapes on multiple pages within a document, but multiple documents can be linked to the one source of truth, that one external data source. If the data changes, it can ripple into one or multiple diagrams, any that are linked to it. So let's take a look at linking to Excel. And I'm going to accomplish that. Let me close my network diagram here. I'm going to accomplish that with another diagram that is a flowchart in progress.
Which it doesn't look like a professional flowchart.
good eyes, Alex. Yeah, this is clearly a work in progress. As a matter of fact, I did this deliberately for two reasons. I wanted to show you two very handy features of Visio just before we get to linking to Excel. The first is on the Home tab. There's a button called Position, which allows me to align shapes left, right, top, center, and so forth. But there's also the special button called Auto Align and Space. And when I click on it, you notice it turned my diagram from a bunch of seemingly random locations for shapes into a pretty decent looking flowchart. Let me just Control Z to undo, and I'll show you that one more time. So that was the original state. Rather than nudge things around and move things manually, all I did in this case was click Auto Align and Space. and Visio did a pretty darn good job. There's one shape here that I would probably just slide down and use the dynamic grid, those green lines that you see, to set the spacing and the positioning just the way I want it. And now I've got decent diagram. So auto-align in space can save you a considerable amount of time in moving things around to make a diagram look good. The second thing I want to show you is on the Design tab. When I click Design, I have a gallery of pre-designed templates, palettes, font choices, and so forth. I'm going to choose this one called Wisp, and now suddenly what started off looking like a work in progress is looking like a better looking diagram. A little bit more professional touch to it, as you suggested, was missing, Alex.
Yeah, I'm regretting so much that I didn't have this kind of features in the Visio back in the days when I was a student, you know, and draw thousands and hundreds of these diagrams.
Absolutely true. This is a great time saver to be able to take a rough looking sketch and turn it into something pretty cool. Now, this is pretty cool, but it's still a work in progress. There's no data to speak of in these shapes. In fact, if I click on a process shape here and pin the shape data window open, let's make it a little smaller, you notice that we've got some process numbers. So these shapes are numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so forth, but none of the other fields contain any data. Let's solve that problem. I'm going to click on the Data tab, and I'm going to use a feature in Visio Professional to link data to shapes. That's the leftmost button on the Data tab up here in the corner, Link Data to Shapes. And when I click on that, I get Internet Explorer. That's not what I wanted. Let's click on the Link Data to Shapes button, and I get this wizard, which lets me link to a variety of different kinds of external data sources. An Excel workbook, that's what I'm going to do now. We can link to an Access database, a SharePoint list, we'll do that coming up in a few minutes, a SQL database, or pretty much any database anywhere that conforms to one of two industry conventions, OLEDB or ODBC, for linking applications to databases. So let's continue by selecting Excel workbook, click Next, and now I need to select a workbook, and I can browse to it. Let's do that. I'm going to browse, and in my Documents folder, here's MVA Part 2, and I have this flowchart data, 2-01 flowchart data. That's the one I want. Click Open. Now I click Next. And Visio has read the tab names on the bottom of the various tabs in that Excel workbook. It found one called Flowchart Data. That's good. That's the one I want. This particular workbook only happens to have one tab in it. But if there were more than one, I can choose whichever one has the data I'm interested in linking. Right now, I've got the only one. That's the one I want. Click Next. This dialog would allow me to constrain the data. So right now, I've picked a tab in the workbook. Visio and Excel are going to give me all the data on that tab. But if I want to, I can restrict the columns or the rows by using this dialog in order to say, you know, I only want to go rows A, you know, 1 through 19 and 8. However you want to restrict the data choices, you can. I'm going to let it default to everything. Click Next. This dialog is interesting. This is Visio having done an analysis, a quick analysis of my Excel data to determine what looks like the unique ID for each shape. And notice it's put a check mark in front of process number. Visio looks at the data and says, what is it that's in this data that looks like a unique identifier? And I find, in general, it's pretty good at picking the thing that is unique for each row of data. In this case, it's fairly obvious because if we were to open this spreadsheet, you would see there are process step numbers in the spreadsheet that, as we'll discover, conform to the ones in the map. But Visio does a pretty good job. If it doesn't guess right, you can change it with those check marks. So now let's click Next and click Finish. And now what opens at the bottom of the screen is something that you may or may not have worked with before. If you've never linked to external data, then you haven't seen this before. Let me just adjust the column widths here, and we'll zoom in, and you can see that what we've got is data from somewhere else. We've got a process number column, a function column, a status column, and some cost numbers over on the right. Now, where did that come from? I mentioned opening the workbook. Let's actually do that. I'm going to just jump over here and open that very same workbook, and here's the data. So this is what it looked like in Excel, and this is Visio's representation of it in the external data window. Were this a database, anywhere this data came from, this is what it would end up looking like in the external data window. Now that I have this data here, I've done step one. I've linked the diagram to the data. Now what I want to do is link individual rows to specific shapes. Here, for example, is process step number two. I could take the row of data that is numbered two, and I could drag it and drop it on that shape. Now watch the shape data window when I let go of the mouse button, and you'll see that this shape now has data in it, and text appeared on the shape itself. I could do the same thing with row one and drop it on this shape. And now we see some data in this shape as well. Dropping data rows manually is great if you only have a couple of them, but there's a better technique. And this is the reason why I purposely numbered my shapes and numbered my data rows, because I want to do this. I want to auto-link. In the upper left corner on the tab, we see a button that says automatically link. So this is again, in Visio Professional, we see automatically link, and let's click that button. This is another small wizard that is going to allow us to specify how we want the data to be automatically linked. Do I want to link to only the selected shapes or all shapes on the page? Let's go with all shapes. Click Next. Here's where I specify for Visio which data column in the external window at the bottom of the screen is the one that contains the unique identifier. It's called process number. On the right side, I define the same thing for the shapes themselves. So I tell Visio how to match the data rows with the shapes. In this case, inside the shapes, the proper field happens to have the same number, process number. So I'm telling Visio, yeah, match the process number in the data window with the field called process number in the shapes. If the names are not the same, no problem. Just pick the right name. Now I click Next, and I click Finish. Now, just before I click Finish, notice in the external data window on the left side, there are two little chain link symbols next to rows one and two. Those are the two that I've already linked. You can see those little chain link symbols there. Rows 3 through 10 do not have linking indicators currently. Watch what happens as soon as I click Finish. Bingo. Now all of those data rows have been linked to shapes. So if I click on any of these shapes, we do see there is data in them. The external data window is useful when you need it, but when you don't, you can close it. Just click the X in the bottom corner and it's gone. If you want to see it again at any point, and by the way, that does not break the link to the external data source, it merely closes the window. If you want to see it again, a check mark in the external data window on the data tab will bring it, make it appear or disappear. Now at this point, you might be looking at this data saying, okay, that's all well and good. We've got interview candidate here. Scott's claimed that it's linked to data. Is it really? Let's prove that point. Let's go back to the Excel workbook for shape number 5, and let's take a look. Here's shape number 5. It's got a description of interview candidate, and it's got a cost of $80. Let's change that to $99. So I'm updating the cost in the source data, and I don't need this open anymore. I'm just going to close and save the changes. My interview candidate's shape, number 5, still says $80 over here. Let's go to the data tab and notice that there's a button that says refresh. Sure enough, that's what I want to do. I want to refresh my diagram. Click refresh. Click refresh all, and now notice that it already says $99 over here for cost. So I changed data in my diagram, I changed data in my source, I clicked a button, and now my diagram is updated.
So Scott, you showed us how to do it manually. Is there a way how to set up automatic refresh of your fields?
Yeah, there actually is. This is also in the category of a slightly obscure feature, but yeah, let me show you how to do that. If we open the external data window, if I right-click anywhere in the external data window, there is a context menu that appears, and one choice on that menu says Configure Refresh. So let's click that entry. and a dialogue pops up, and the appropriate part that we care about right here is the lower left corner where it says automatic refresh. And simply by putting a check mark and specifying 5 minutes, 120 minutes, 1 minute, whatever the case might be, in essence, what you've done is set Visio up so whenever this diagram is open, it will go out every 1 minute, 10 minutes, 3 hours, 24 hours, whatever you choose, and grab the data. So if the data changes, you'll know about it in your Visio diagram. In and of itself, that feature is valuable, but it becomes even more valuable when we go to the remainder of this module where we will talk about data visualization. You'll actually be able to see those changes happen. So good question, thanks.
And does this work only for a local installation, for local diagrams, or if you publish them or save them somewhere in the portal, it will work as well?
Good question also, and the answer is yes, you can publish these diagrams in SharePoint, and those changes in data, in the source data, will ripple through the diagram and right onto SharePoint. So if I'm looking at a SharePoint published version of this diagram and change happens, I will see those changes.
Thank you.
So let's close that dialogue. We don't need to use that one any longer. And let me close the external data window because I'm finished with that. One point I want to make about this diagram that you might have noticed, the shapes in the top row seem to have the text from the function field appearing on them. The ones down below here do have text in that field, but it does not appear on the shapes. You might ask yourself why. Well, let me not only answer the question why, but show you what to do about it. The reason is because I set up the fields in the top row ahead of time by telling Visio to publish the data from the function field on the shape itself. And that's actually a long-standing feature of Visio. I'm going to select this whole row because I want to show you that you can do this for multiple shapes at once. I'm going to the Insert tab and click on Field. So what I'm about to do is insert a field, data from a field, into the text portion of the shape. So click the Field button. I have a range of types of fields that I can insert. I'm going to choose Shape Data and Function. Now, just as a quick aside, if you look at the left side of this dialog, you'll notice that you can insert shape data, timing, date and time information, information about the document itself, about the page, all sorts of things, including user-defined cells notice. So data that you've stored in user cells can appear on a shape as text. But in my case, it is a shape data field called function that I want. And now as soon as I click OK, instant results. So now my diagram is great. It shows what I want. If I change the data either in the source and refresh my diagram, or in this case, just randomly make a text change here, because the text on the shape is equated to a shape data field, whatever changes happen in that field happen on the text of the shape. So very easy way to take advantage of data by inserting a field onto a shape.
Is there any way how we can add the multiply data field to multiply shapes? Because, you know, doing it one by one is kind of a nightmare for any business user.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, it's great to be able to add a field one at a time, but isn't there some way I can do it a bunch at the same time? Yeah, so let's take a look at that. I'm going to choose that same interview candidate's shape, and just for sake of argument, I'm going to add one more field manually, and then I'm going to do what you're asking about. So let's right-click in the shape data window and choose Define Shape Data. Click the New button. So this is very much the same thing we did in Module 1. I'm going to add some key performance indicators. So this field is going to be called KPI number 1. And it will be a string field. I'll just leave that as the default. And I will, this will be a numeric field. Let's change it to a number. And I will click OK. So now I have this field called KPI 1. And it has no data in it by design, because what I'm going to do is link to an external data source. And what we're about to discover is that if you link to a data source that has fields that are not currently defined in your shapes, when you link that data to those shapes, those fields get defined for you automatically. So let's go back to the Data tab, click on Link Data to Shapes, Once again, I have an Excel workbook here, and let's browse, and it happens to be same folder. It happens to be a workbook that contains KPI data. And just for the sake of understanding what the data looks like, let me open it for you first. It is dead simple. There's a column for process number and three columns of data that have KPI data. So we've got key performance indicators number 1, 2, and 3 for the shapes whose numbers are 2 through 8. So that's the source data. Back to our linking. Let's choose that. Click next, next, next. Visio has identified process number as the likely unique identifier, which is correct. So next and finish. Once again, the external data window appears. Now, here's a very interesting point. Many people, I find, have linked to one data source, but don't know that you can link the same diagram to more than one. Notice there are two tabs at the bottom of the external data window. One says flowchart data, one says sheet one. One came from one spreadsheet, the other came from another spreadsheet. This data is not linked to shapes yet. Let's do that, and we can do the automatically link trick. So automatically link, all shapes on the page, and process number equals process number. Those are, I've kept the field names consistent just to make it easy. Next and finish. The little link symbols appear. And now if I go back to my interview candidate shape, notice that this is a shape that I previously had manually defined KPI number 1. Visio found it and stuck data in it. That data came from the spreadsheet. But it also discovered that this shape did not have a field called KPI number 2 or a field called KPI number 3, and it added that automatically. And even better, all of the other shapes now have KPI fields. The ones that we identified, shapes number 2 through 8, all do show KPIs.
Great. Great. So in the beginning of the model, you mentioned that there are several sources that we can use for the data linking, right? Excel is the obvious one and the probably easiest one. What about SharePoint lists, for example?
That's a very good question. And the answer is it's just as easy to link to a SharePoint list as it is to link to Excel. Let's take a look. I'm going to work with the same diagram. So this same diagram will now, by the time we're finished, be linked to three separate data sources. Back to the Data tab, link data to shapes. Simple choice is just select SharePoint Foundation list from the dialog. Click Next. I happen to have already previously typed the link to my SharePoint list. It's visiostepbystep.sharepoint.com. So I'm going to click Next. And Visio is now contacting SharePoint. Now, by the way, this happens to be SharePoint Online. So this is part of Office 365. I have that Visio stepbystep.sharepoint.com site set up for keeping data about my books and that sort of thing. So this is where that data happens to reside. If you are working in an enterprise that has SharePoint installed internally and you have internal SharePoint servers, exactly the same. All you're going to do is say, provide the URL for your internal SharePoint servers, and you're home free. What you will see, regardless of whether it's SharePoint internal or SharePoint online, is this next dialog. And on it, you see a list of resources that exist within the SharePoint site. So I have a variety of different documents and sources of data, SharePoint lists, things that I've put here for various webcasts and customer training and that sort of thing in the past. I have one called Flowchart Process Owners, and that's the one to which I'm going to link, because if you were very observant, you may have noticed that none of my shapes have owners identified. The field is there, but there's no data in them yet. So I'm going to click Next and click Finish. Once again, the external data window will appear, and now we have a third tab called Flowchart Process Owners, and if we look at the data, make this column a little wider, we see process owner names. And just to prove the point I made a minute ago, the shapes themselves have an owner field, but no owners defined. What else do we see down here in this external data window? There's a bunch of extra stuff. And the reason is that though my SharePoint list only has a couple of columns, and to make that claim, or to back up that claim, let's look at that SharePoint list here. When we go to my site contents, and let's look at the source data in this case. Here is the flowchart process owners list. When I click on it, I see two columns, step number and process owner. So that's what the actual source data looks like. But in the external data window, you notice a bunch of other columns here, including modified dates, created by, modified by, and a whole slew of other things. This is a function of the interaction between Visio and SharePoint. Whenever you point Visio at a SharePoint list, Visio grabs everything it can find about that list, including all of these other things. For me, in this diagram, I don't care about that stuff. I don't want to even see it, let alone link it to my shapes. So here's the solution to this extra data problem. I'm going to right-click inside the external data window and choose column settings. So that's the right-click menu entry, column settings. When I do that, I see a dialog that allows me to customize what I see in the external data window for this data source. There's a field called ID. I don't care about that. All I really want is process owner and step number. So let's just uncheck these other fields. There does not happen to be a none button that lets me turn everything off at once. I actually just days ago made that suggestion to the Visio product team for, we'll see whether that makes its way into a future version of Visio, because it would be convenient. In this case, I want a very small subset of all of the columns that exist. So right now I had to manually uncheck them and leave checked the two that I want. Having done that, I'm also going to do one other thing. I'm going to put the step number in front or above the process owner. So notice I've now have it above listed first and process owner second. Watch the columns when I click OK. First of all, most of them will disappear. And sure enough, step number is now listed first. And I just did that because I could. It wouldn't matter to what I'm about to do next, but it's more logical to me to see the identifying information on the left side. Now this is going to look very familiar because what I'm going to do is click on automatically link all shapes on this page, click next. And now I need to say that in this case, the names are different. The field that I care about is called step number in the external data window, and it should be matched up with a field called process number in the shapes. Click next, click finish, the chain link symbols appear, and now we see, oh, you know what? I did one thing wrong, and this is actually a very useful exercise. Notice that I have a field in the shape data called process owner. Let's zoom in so you can see that for sure. That's different from the field called owner. What happened there? Well, that's because I need to take advantage of one other property of the external data window, and that's to change the names. So let's undo. I'm undoing the linking. So now my shapes are back to where they were prior to doing the linking. I'm going to right-click in the external data window one more time and choose column settings. And this time, I'm going to say, you know what? Process owner doesn't match what's in my shapes, so I'm going to rename this field. And I'm going to do so by changing it to just the word owner and click OK. And by the way, there are some other things you can do here. If this data was imported as a string, but I wanted it to be numeric or a currency or a date or some other kind of field, I do have options available to make other kinds of edits to the data as I'm bringing it in from the external data source. But in this case, it's just the name I want to change. Click OK. And now let's automatically link again. All shapes, next. Step number, process number, next, finish. Now, look at that. Anton Kirillov is now the owner of this shape. Daniel Koshka is the owner of this shape, and so forth. So I think what you can see is we've taken three different data sources. Two happen to be Excel workbooks. One was a SharePoint list. Could be SQL, could be Access. And we've merged those in. So now this diagram reflects true data from its normal home, some external source, and it's now available to us in these shapes, in this diagram.
Now to my favorite one. So yes. let's talk about business intelligence and visualization. I believe that we can use Visio as a strong business intelligence solution or part of the solution, can't
yes.
we?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, for business intelligence, there are really three things required. you need data, and we've looked at all different aspects of data in this module and the previous module. You need a way to visualize the data, and that's exactly what we're going to do now. And you also need a way to publish that diagram or the thing that you've created and make it available to other people. And that's what we're going to do in Module 3. But let's do what we're going to do now. Let's visualize the data in this diagram. I'm going to close the external data window because we're pretty well finished with that for now. I'm going to take this shape interview candidates that we've been working with here, and I want to show you how to create what in Visio is referred to as a data graphic. On the Data tab, there is, not surprisingly, based on what I just said, a button labeled Data Graphics. Let's click that button and choose Create New Data Graphic. If we had existing data graphics, they would appear here, but I'm going to create a new one. First thing I do to create a graphic is click the New Item button and choose a field. These are the shape data fields. If I scroll all the way to the bottom of the list, there's an entry that says More Fields. That gives me real power because shape data, we already know, is the visible stuff within a diagram, but More Fields connects me to those user-defined fields that are in the shape sheet, as well as just about any attribute of a shape. But for our purposes right now, it really is the shape data that we care about. So I'm going to choose the field called Cost. Second thing I need to do is to tell Visio how I would like to see this field. I have four choices, and I'll walk quickly through them. The first is text. And if I choose text, I can display the value and the name of the field using a variety of different formats. So let's just choose this one called Bubble Callout. Click OK, click OK. And do I want to apply this to this new graphic to the selected shape? Yes. And here it is. Let's zoom in so you can see. There is now this bubble graphic to the right of the shape that says cost and shows a value of $99. Now, this may or may not be where I want this thing to be positioned. This may or may not be what I want it to look like. The data graphic facility is very flexible in allowing you to reposition that graphic. So I could edit it in a variety of different ways. To do that, just data graphics, and right-click on the existing graphic and choose Edit. And I could, when I double-click, I can change it from the default position. Maybe I want to move it to the, maybe far right's okay, but maybe I want it to be above the shape. So let's put it at the top and click OK and click Apply. And you'll see that I've just simply moved it up a little bit. So it's out of the way of the lines and does represent the data in a textual form. But you know what? Text isn't really what I want to do with this data. What I want to do is represent it in a more visual way. So let's go back to the Data Graphics button, create a new data graphic, select the same cost field, but this time I'm going to choose a value, a display type called data bar. Data bars are pretty cool. You can have progress indicators and speedometers and thermometers, even use multiple fields to create a bar graph, not something many people realize Visio can do. Everybody thinks of Excel for creating bar graphs, and yeah, you can do that, but Visio actually does give you this capability as well. I'm going to choose a visual indicator. I'm going to choose a thermometer, and I'm also going to tell Visio in this wizard that the value, that is the dollar value itself, I don't want to see that. Nor do I want to see the label. It's currently would show at the bottom of the thermometer, but I'm going to turn it off. Why? All I want is the visual. I want to see the red level in the thermometer go up and down based on the dollar value of cost. So I'm turning off the text that could appear, and let's see what it looks like. Let's click OK and OK and apply this to the selected shape, and now I have a thermometer. Now, why is it all the way to the top? I didn't point this out, but the default in a thermometer graphic is 0 to 100. It assumes sort of percentage-like breakdowns. If my data ranged from 50 to 5,000, I could set those as the limits, and the level of red in the thermometer would reflect that appropriately. As you can see, I'm about to change the data value. If I change it to 55, the result is instantaneous. So the graphics reflect the state of the data right now. Interesting way to represent data, and once again, I could go back and edit that and move it somewhere else if I wanted to. But what I want to do is show you another kind of graphic. So click Data Graphic, click Create New, and once again, select cost. And this time I'm going to choose the third display option called an icon set. These are predefined sets of five icons that can represent gradations in values, for example. You notice flags and traffic lights. I don't know that I would necessarily need to put smiley faces in the average business diagram, but they're here. We've got a cell phone-like signal bars. I'm going to choose this set of squares that are here because I kind of like this graphic occasionally. It's got five values, five icons, and all I do is tell Visio the conditions under which I'd like each one to appear. So I'm going to choose greater than or equal to 80. And again, my data range is roughly 0 to 100 in this particular diagram. For the second one, greater than or equal to 60. And keeping that trend, I'll choose greater than or equal to 40, greater than or equal to 20, and greater than or equal to 0. So I've just simply set five conditions. Notice I know nothing about programming. I know nothing about the shape sheet or anything else, really. All I'm doing is dealing with data values. I'm a business analyst. I draw pictures in Visio, and now I'm enhancing those pictures by making them come to life with data represented visually. It's as simple now as clicking OK, click OK again, and notice I did not have a shape selected, so this time Visio didn't say, do you want to apply it to the selected shape? In fact, let's do something slightly different. Let's go to a full page view here. Let's select the shapes in the upper row and hold down the Shift key while I select the shapes in the bottom row. So I've selected the process shapes, click Data Graphic, and choose Apply. And now, pretty cool. I could reposition it, of course, might put it just above the shape, but what we've got is an illustration, a visual indication of what the cost of each of these steps in our process is. Notice the hire candidate cost seems to be pretty high. Making a job offer seems to be pretty high. Obviously, my numbers are totally arbitrary. They don't mean anything in the real world context, but you get the idea. And once again, if the data changes, let's take interview candidates here. Let's change this back to 99. The graphic changes immediately, so you now see all four squares are lit because we've exceeded a threshold. If the value is 28, then we see the appropriate reaction in the data graphic. So this is where the real power comes in, because now what we've done is we've linked this diagram to external data, we've created ways to visualize that data, and if the external data changes, we can set a timer to refresh the diagram, and the visual will refresh as well. So I can create a time-based dashboard view into my process, and I'm using a business process here. It could be a network diagram showing real-time status of servers up, down, and percent utilization of memory and disk and so forth. It could be an org chart that shows performance measurements for people in the organization. It could be a timeline that reflects percentage completions of projects along the way, a Gantt chart. Just use your imagination and think about what you'd like to see visually. Think about where the data lives, and Visio is that middle ground that makes it all happen.
Which is more important that you don't need a technical knowledge, as Scott already mentioned. Everything that you have to know is Visio. So thank you, Scott.
It
was
You're welcome.
The end of the Model 2. Data link into the diagrams. More fun is coming in Model 3, yeah, and I hope that we'll see you then.
Thank you.